Now, before you laugh at him, may I say this? He was one of God's greatest men. He was a remarkable individual. Listen to what he said. Verse 15 of chapter 7. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, Go, prophesy unto my people Israel. And so God sent him all the way from way down there in the country, in the desert, in the wilderness, all the way up to the northern kingdom, to Bethel, one of the capital cities where you find the city folk living, where it was altogether different than where he came from. God called him to preach. God gave him a message. And God sent him to Bethel. And he came there. Now, it was really, at first, the capital of the northern kingdom. And it was the place where there was one of the golden calves. It was the center of culture and also cults. It was where the sophisticated and the suave folk moved. The jet set lived there. It was the place that was blasé and brazen. It defied God. It was also the intellectual center. They had a school of the prophets there. The seminaries taught liberalism there. They taught about the Graf Welthausen hypothesis that denied the inspiration of the Pentateuch and the German theologian Bultmann. They went in for all the latest down there, you see. Now, what Bethel did was the thing to do. When they first introduced filter-tipped cigarettes, why, Bethel was the first place that they were advertised and were used. Then it spread out everywhere. And it also was the place where they worshipped a golden calf and had turned their backs upon Almighty God. And it was the place where you could go to see the style show, the styles that would be popular the next year. Are we going to wear the wide lapel next year? Will there be two or three buttons on the coat? Should you leave the last button unbuttoned to be in style? Well, you'd go to Bethel to find that out. Well, here comes to town this country preacher, this prophet of God, with a message, most unusual message. He's different from any other prophet. You're going to find out his prophecy is different, friends. And actually, the suit of Amos was not cut to the style of Bethel. And neither was his message cut to the style of Bethel. You didn't hear this man giving the type of messages they gave there. In the king's chapel, there was always a mild-mannered preacher, very sophisticated, well-educated, but a rank unbeliever who stood in the pulpit and gave little comforting words to the people. He gave them pablum and saccharine sweetness in the message. But now here's a different man. And when Amos arrived, they stared at him at first. But they were very indulgent, of course, there. They were broad-minded, you know. So they smiled at him. I think he had on high-button yellow shoes. That, of course, is coming back today, and I don't know whether it was ever in style in Bethel or not, but at least it was not in style when Amos arrived, and his suit didn't fit him. He unfortunately had the bottom button, which he should not have done, and he had on his first necktie, and it looked like it had been tied by a whirlwind or something like that. And everyone was embarrassed but Amos. Amos was not embarrassed at all. And he created quite a stir. Here he has left the backwoods. He's arrived on the boulevard. He's left the desert. Now he enters the drawing room. He had been with these long-haired sheep out on the desert all of his night. Now he's with the well-groomed goats up yonder in Bethel. And he has left the place of agriculture, and he's come to the place of culture. Now, I think most everyone came to hear him at first. They said, we don't believe he can preach. They came out of curiosity. We don't think this man has any message. They came in amusement, but they left in anger. He was a sensational preacher. His sermons, you see, weren't cut to the style of Bethel. And today we just don't have any of those liberal sermons from that day. But you sure have Amos, and you have his prophecy, and we're going to be looking at it. Now, Amos preached the word of God, and many people were moved, and some turned to God. But you know what happened. Organized religion there, the worship of Baal and the golden calf, they got together. They had the ecumenical movement going there so that they had the same program. If you don't believe anything, then there's nothing to keep you apart. If I don't believe anything, you don't believe anything, we can get together. And that's the ecumenical movement, by the way. And it was going great guns even in that day. Now, you have this man. We find him in the midst of all of organized religion. And they try to silence him. They try to run him out of town. And some of the leading ecumenical leaders called a meeting. And they wanted to remove him. They wanted to withdraw support from him. They told him he'd lose his pension if he didn't change. And there were some fundamental leaders called evangelicals in Bethel. They began to criticize him because he was getting the crowds. They tried to undermine his ministry. But God blessed him. Amos would not compromise. Amos continued to preach the word of God. We're going to see his message in this book, but I want you to meet him today. And they had a mass meeting called of all the religions. And the inevitable happened. It was really the first meeting of the World Council of Churches. And the motto of this first meeting was, Away with Amos. Away with Amos. And now, Amaziah, he was appointed as a committee chairman to go see Amos. Now, Amaziah was a priest who went into idolatry. Does all of this sound modern to you, folk? It's the same old story. We think it's modern. It's not. It's been happening ever since man got out of the Garden of Eden. Amaziah was the hired hand of religion. He was polished, was educated, he was proud, he was scholarly, he was pious. He was a classic example of a pseudo-saint. Cleverly and subtly, he worked a master stroke. He got the king to support him because he believed that the church and state and religion and politics should be combined. And so the thing that happened was this, verse 10, back of chapter 7 now. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land's not able to bear all of his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their land. Now, he had said some strange things, it is true. But what he said was true. And it should have been heeded by Jeroboam. Now, he had on his committee, you see there, he had the chief calf caller in the worship of the cow that was set up to worship there. And as you can see on his committee, I think he had Dr. Sounding Brass. He was the president of the School of the Prophets, proud and pompous, and he was a politician par excellence. And also there was Reverend Tinkling Symbol. He was the pastor of the wealthiest and most influential church in town. He was the yes man to the rich. He couldn't preach, but he was a great little mixer. And it's amazing the things he could mix, by the way. He didn't pound the pulpit because he didn't want to wake his congregation up, but he could sure slap their backs during the week. Now, this committee waited on Amos.